Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
As we welcome in our Kings Insider from the Insiders, our man, James Hamm. James, let's start here. I've been meaning to ask this question to my partner all day, but we're all here together. So let's talk about it. Kings blow another 20-point lead last night. We can go back and forth about what that means and what that entails. And James can't hear us. Oh, no, that's good. James just gave me the universal sign for you stupid idiot. I don't hear you. So I'm waiting for James to get his. James will get his setup here.
Something and then it knocked everything loose. It was like this huge buildup and then boom, nothing.
Yeah, the universal sign. Stop talking, idiot. Can't hear you. James, the Kings blow their 420-point lead of the season in a game in which they lost. Who takes the brunt of the blame for that?
I don't worry about 20-point blown losses like that. Like, if it was 20 points, like, the one that stands out is the Suns loss, right? Where you blew a 20-point lead in the fourth quarter in the final 8 minutes of the game, and look how big that would be right now. Number one, you'd be tied with the Suns. You'd still only be a game back of the Pelicans, and you would already have the season series against the Suns. So that one comes back as, like, this haunting moment, right? Outside of that, like... We were talking about this earlier, Kenny. Everyone saw what happened to the Clippers and Suns game last night, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, the Clippers were down, were up 37-10 after the first quarter. Mm-hmm. And it ends up being a 13-point game, but they led by, I think the total was 37 at one point, and they held on to win by 13, and it got to single digits. That's just kind of the league, right? It's the league now because... I think a lot of it's because of the 3-point shot. Just, you know, it's like the haymaker. And then once you hit one, sometimes it becomes infectious. Just like I think the Kings face the opposite. You know, you miss one, all of a sudden you miss four in a row. And so I don't concern myself so much with that as much as I do with the fact that the Kings just look like we see their ceiling right now. We saw it. And... like they're a good team, but right now without Malik, I'm just going to say Malik specifically, like Kevin Herter, you can throw in that mix too, but without Malik, this team just isn't deep enough to knock off all the best teams in the league. Hmm. There are certain teams you can beat, but there are other teams, the Knicks, the Celtics, again, a team like OKC that you just don't have the versatility in the offense. You don't have that second guy to run into the key or to get things going on the offensive end, to get the two-man game going with Domantas Sabonis. Like, I mean, I want to blame Domas for going 2 of 7 from the field, but I also know that, like, how many easy buckets does Malik Monk get him every single game? And now you make him a back to the basket, have to go and go post move after post move against like a crazy long athletic Chet Holmgren. Like I wanted more for sure, but like if Malik Monk is there, there's a good chance that Domantas Sabonis doesn't have six turnovers. There's a good chance that you don't blow that lead. And, you know, I just kind of look at this as it's kind of the way the team is built right now.
You two, both of you piss me off sometimes.
Oh,
I just
want
to make
wait,
sure you
wait,
both
just
know
the
that.
Damn
just
minute.
Both
what?
Of you, both of you get on my nerves sometimes. Just want to make sure you guys know that. Teams lost 20-point leads more than any other team in the league. Neither of you, it happens.
It's more than any team in the league, is it?
And lost?
Yeah.
That's the number we had.
Okay, but what is it? Like, how many times have they lost a 20-point
Four.
Lead? Four, that's it? Four times
they
lost?
The game.
Okay,
they lost the game.
What?
Okay, twice in the last 5 days, James.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, look, at this point, like, really? I don't think they're good enough. Like, that. It's harsh, but we see the ceiling. This was the group of games you looked at. You thought, man, you got – we talked about that first set of eight games, right? And you got to go, 7-1. You got to go 6-2. They don't do that. They go 5-3. And I mean, that's not like a death blow, but realistically, it's the one or the two games that you don't have right now that totally matter. I mean, if you didn't blow two of those games throughout the season, you're even if the Colby Jones tip in goes in, they're with three games left in the season, they're down one game to the Pelicans for the sixth seed. That's a big deal. And so I don't know, like this, it's becoming like a game of inches, right? Like we're watching this play out in like a kind of a negative way though. Like this team is just kind of run into a brick wall and trying to climb over that brick wall without your second or third best player, or maybe third best player, is just nearly impossible. And again, I like Colby Jones. But you didn't play him all season, and all of a sudden he's got to play meaningful minutes. It worked one game. It didn't work the second game. That's kind of the situation that Mike Brown is in. Like, how do I find a way to steal 6 minutes here with somebody that, you know, that I can hide, but get through? And that's not a good way to live when you're three games away from the playoffs.
Yeah, it's tough. It really is tough. What do you think of the 58 threes took last night? Like, what is your interpretation of that? Why they took so many? Is it good or bad? Like, what's your thoughts about that?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, that's what OKC gave you, and I think that's, you know, it's probably not a great thing to just play into somebody's hands, but you know, I don't know. This team is kind of built that way. It's who they are. And I would like to have seen them get into the key and get more baskets at the rim and, you know, get more shot attempts at the rim and all that. But every time they fed Sabonis, he turned the ball over. Every time, like, he tried to make a move in the post, they sent two or three guys at him. It's part of a larger issue that the Kings have right now, is that their spacing has gone to hell in a handbasket because they lost two of their shooters and really their secondary playmaker, their secondary primary playmaker. So I think the 58 threes, it's more of like a symptom. You know, I think we know what the problem is. The problem is that they just right now they can't space the floor and they're being forced to play somebody else's game. And that's because of sort of the depth of what they have right now. And it's tough.
What did you think about Keon Ellis's performance last night? Not necessarily the percentage in which he hit the threes. I think the thing that impressed me the most, and maybe even to a certain degree caught me off guard a little bit, Hammer, was his willingness to take all of those shots. That's one of the things we had a huge question mark about, is when push came to shove, would Keon be willing to shoot the ball 14 times, 15 times, 16 times, 17 times? And last night, and I believe last night was the first time, he did that, and he did it with very little hesitation, and I think it paid off for him. Unfortunately, some of the other guys weren't connecting the way you'd want to, but what were your impressions of Keon Ellis last night?
Yeah, I absolutely thought he was brilliant. It wasn't just the scoring. So he finishes with a career-high 26, but He had 7 rebounds. He had 5 assists. He had 3 blocks. Like, he just gave you everything he had. And I've said this before. I really do believe that this is an audition for Keon Ellis for next season. And I don't know if it's an audition for him to be in the rotation or if it's an audition for him to be the starting shooting guard next to De'Aaron Fox. But if he's going to be a player who doesn't fear the shot, who takes that shot all the time, then, like, why not? Because everything else he gives you is really good. He's super active on the defensive end. He's super long. He gets a ton of deflections. He gets a bunch of steals. Like, he brings a really good energy to the court. He brings an energy right off the bounce, which is not something that the Kings are usually that they usually have with their starting lineup. Like, he gives you a ton, and I don't know that it's going to work out that he's going to be the starter next year. The Kings could go back to Kevin Herter. They could also go out and shop for a different shooting guard on free agency or through trade. But at the same time, I kind of look at this as like it's the one bright spot. And I do think, like Chris Biederman said this earlier, like Keon Ellis is turning into the brightest spot of this season. Like, when we get done with this season and we start looking at like the postmortem, you can circle Keon Ellis and say, man, you went from not only having a guy that you really didn't know what he had, you know, how he could develop, to a guy who's forced into a role and finds a way to thrive. Now, in order for him to impact the game the way that that a Kevin Herter does or a Keegan Murray does, it can't just be one game like this. He has to keep shooting it like this for the next 3 games for sure. But if he gets an opportunity, if this somehow this team does make the playoffs, this is who he has to be. He has to establish himself as a shooter in the league, as a guy who will take 8 threes or 7 threes a game. Whenever he's open, he's taking them. And if he can do that, it will open the spacing back up. Because as of right now, teams are still like, okay, well, we're going to let you beat us. You know, I mean, they're just basically saying, if Harrison Barnes, you go ahead and shoot. We don't care at this point. Mm-hmm. You know, they're saying, even Trey Lyles, right? Go ahead and shoot. We're going to leave you open. We're going to stop Fox and we're going to stop Sabonis. But if you have that type of shooter in your starting lineup that isn't the same type of shooter that Herter is, he isn't the same type of creator that Herter is, but what he is a player that you always have to track and you always have to leave a body with. And that's how you create that spacing. So I think it's a huge moment for him. And like, hats off to him. Like, that, like, you know how hard it is to walk into a game against OKC knowing that you've got to get a win in order to stay in the playoff chase, and like all of this pressure, and this guy who went undrafted is out there like, okay, I got you. 8 3-pointers, 8 threes. Like, holy cow. And then you have other players on this team are going 1 for 7, 1 for 8, just disappearing in one of the biggest games the Kings have had. It shows you that this is a guy you probably want to ride with.
You talk about like what the teams are doing to the Kings, kind of, you know, closing the lane up and saying, hey, if you beat us from three, we'll tip our hat. How do you combat that if you're the Kings? You know, I keep going to the 58 threes, but a lot of people, you did a whole show about it. I know they were upset about 58 three-pointers last night. How do you combat that? If they're giving you wide open looks from three and they aren't necessarily going down, like, how do you combat that if you're the Kings?
Okay, well, like, let's just like look at the 4 threes that they missed right in a row. Yeah. Every single one of those were good shots. You'll take them. And not only that, but you have to take them. Like, you throw up a 3. I think it was Davion shot the first one.
Trey Lyles, it bounced. 2 Davions, and a...
And a Harrison Barnes. Harrison. All
that's
of
a,
them.
That's a goddamn... That's one possession. That's incredible.
Wide open. Wide open. You can't tell them to stop. And I think what Mike said in postgame, I think it probably should alarm some people, but at the same time, he's like, hey, I'm calling a timeout. I'm taking guys out because they won't shoot it. And he's not talking about at the rim. He's like, you get an open 3, shoot it. They could have shot more. And I think it's part of the design of the offense. But at the same time, like, look, the only guy who could get to the free throw line was Harrison, and he couldn't hit anything else. And then eventually, if a guy's not going to hit anything from the outside and you don't even have to defend him out there, you're just going to take 3 steps back and say, okay, come on in. Like, we'll have Chet waiting for you. And I know that's something else that people, like, why are they shooting all these free throws and why are the Kings shooting no free throws? Well, first of all, the Kings shot 58 threes. That's part of the reason why you didn't shoot nearly as many free throws as they did. But also, Chet does put the fear of God in a player going to the basket.
Well, the Kings, like, shot 26 free throws. It was a difference of five. That what you're really talking about is De'Aaron versus SGA. That's where the issue lied. Didn't so much lie between the Kings and the Thunder. It lied between the two guards, where De'Aaron shot like 17 threes, I think it was, and got a technical because when he did drive to the basket, the referees turned the other way. And those aren't on the last two-minute report because they happened through the first 46.
I agree, but I'd also tell you, like, the Thunder are long, they're athletic, they're physical. They keep you away from the key. Their defense is very good. And then they also have this guy back there playing keeper. And so, like, that's why, I mean, I don't think it was the design to shoot 58, but I don't think Mike Brown had any problem with him shooting 50, 55, whatever it might have been. It's just that at some point you wish that some of those guys would have hit some of those shots.
Do you think this is we were speculating on this earlier because I think it sounds like we're all in agreement. Losing Herter and Malik is just too much to overcome and expect them, you know, to be competitive against the better teams in the league. Or maybe competitive is the wrong word because they certainly were last night. But expect them to win those games. Do you think this is the plan going forward? Like, hey, open three, yep. Paint touch, open three, paint touch. If we can get 58-60 in the next game, we're going to get 58-60 versus New Orleans. We're going to get 50-60 versus Phoenix. We'll do what we got to do. But do you think that's the idea? We've lost the shot creation of Malik Monk. They're zeroing in on De'Aaron. I don't know what Domas is doing. You mentioned 1 of 8, 1 of 7. You didn't mention 2 of 7. Like,
yeah.
Is that Mike? Is this what we're looking at tomorrow night?
Well, I'm just going to tell you that against a good defensive team, that's who they want to make you into. So, I mean, that's the problem. Like, you can only do so much. Like, you know, like, we can talk about, like, in football terms, if you go up against a team that doesn't have a bunch of pass rushers but have stacked their front seven with nothing but run-stopping defensive linemen and defensive tackles and a bunch of linebackers that are widely known to just crush everybody who's running, you got to throw the ball, don't you? I mean, that's kind of what it is. Like, you can't just expect to keep running into a brick wall and to have something work out for you. You got to play around it. And, you know, I would like to tell you that the Kings have a bunch of options here, but they don't. They don't have secondary and third options. Again, people forget that Kevin Herter is a very good creator as well. Like, in the starting group, it's Fox as your primary creator. It's Domas as your offensive hub. And your secondary creator is not Harrison Barnes, who averages like 1 assist a game. And it's not Keegan Murray, who averages around 1 or 2 assists a game. It's Kevin Herter. So it's not just Monk. And I think that, you know, while we all can look at what's happened with Herter this season and say he's had a really, really poor season, he's averaging 10 points a game. You can look at the other stats, and he's still not that bad as a rebounder. He's still not that bad as an assist guy, and you do miss him. And if you look at last year's team, like, Herter was your third leading scorer, and Monk was like your fifth leading scorer. You get to this year, they're still two of your top six guys. You know, one of them is one of your top three guys. Like, I don't know. There are not a lot of teams in the league that can just recover like that. And I think the one team that we're seeing that's been able to kind of stay the course, even though they had a dramatic injury, is Minnesota. And I'm really surprised because I didn't think Minnesota could score without Karl-Anthony Towns. I don't love Towns as a player, but that doesn't change the fact that he averages like 23, 24 points a game. You take that away and everybody else kind of stepped up.
With all due respect, that's one guy.
They
lost
one guy.
And like, to go with that analogy a little bit more, it's a little disingenuous because Cat is better than anybody, any of these two guys. But it's like if Minnesota lost Cat and Naz Reid.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like,
yeah,
what
yeah.
would that
right.
look like?
Yeah, yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I'm saying?
So, Nas Reed, sixth man of the year, clearly, because yeah, well, Malik Monk
it's
doesn't.
Just done.
Malik
just
Monk
done.
Doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
Out of sight, out of mind.
I would definitely say, though, but look at how they're built besides that. Mike Conley isn't a scorer anymore. And but, and Jaden McDaniels averaging 10 points a game. And Rudy Gobert is not a threat at all. But they were able to find guys that step into a role and start scoring. I like really, the Kings have a this exposed their depth problem. It was the one position where you had multiple guys that you didn't think it would expose it on. But there it is.
Well, it was Nas. Nas was the guy who stepped in. Like, Cat averaging 22. Nas came in and averaged like 18.
But the thing is, we keep talking about scoring. I mean, that's fair, but that's not Minnesota's thing. Mm-hmm. Not that they don't score. Obviously, it's top seed in the West. But I'm saying that's not how they make the. That's not how they eat. Mm-hmm. They eat on the defensive end. And is it fair? Not meant to be shade. Isn't Cat the worst defender of that group?
Probably. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's just you take an offensive player that might have the face of the league on the team. You take an offensive player off a team that eats on the defensive side of the ball versus taking two offensive guys off a team that survives off the offensive side of the ball. Mm-hmm. Like we were talking about this earlier, Ham, the Kings are playing significantly better on the defensive end. They're not good enough in their current state to win games on the defensive end. You still need something from the offensive end, and unfortunately, that's sitting in some dope clothing on the sideline.
No, I totally agree. I mean, that's the problem the Kings have. It's not even that you need another score. I don't even know, like, fully if Kevin Huerter were healthy, and like you had last year's Kevin Huerter, I still don't even know if that would help the Kings as much as. If you had another guy who was a pick and roll ball handler that can go and create, and that's what they're really missing. It's again, it's the three or four easy buckets that Domantas Sabonis gets every game, where Monk drops a pocket pass to him, hits him right in the gut, and he goes right through somebody and up to the rim because he's too strong and he's too close, and you just don't have that. And like Fox can only be out on the court so long, and you're not just asking Fox to be what Malik is. Malik is a scorer first, but he's also a guy who's averaging 5 assists a game. There's a big difference between a guy averaging 15 points and 5 assists and a guy who's averaging 26.5, 27 and 5 assists. The guy with this averaging 26, 27, his role is to score first and only, and then dish out when he can. The other guy, it's to score and to dish out, and there's just a different nuance there. And not having both of them right now, it hurts. I mean, it does. I like, again, Davion, I think, has played extremely well. He's just not that guy. He's not the assist guy. He's not the pocket pass guy. He can draw and he can kick, but he's not getting you that two-man game that we're so used to with Malik. And it's really made the Kings offense bland. And it's also allowed teams to just absolutely attack Sabonis. He's the guy, in my opinion, that has really lost out in this whole Malik Monk injury, outside of Monk not being there and the team overall. But it's Sabonis who just can't be himself because you don't have this other element, this other attack angle that's happening.
To that point about Fox, I remember last night I'm watching the game, and I think it was late in the third quarter. Or whatever. It was later in the third quarter because Fox had gotten mad that a foul was called on him. He went back and, you know, didn't get a foul call, but he went to the bucket or whatever the case may be. And I was like, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I was like, yeah, Fox, you know, we might need him to go the whole way, the rest of the way here. And then right when I say that, Katie goes, yeah, and Fox hasn't been out at all in this third quarter. I'm like, God damn, like, I'm gonna ask this guy to play the whole second half, lead the team in scoring, and create for everybody.
Then he sat to start the fourth when he got the technical foul, I think.
But at that time, there's like 3-4 minutes left. I'm like, yeah, Fox might need to go the rest of the way, not even knowing he's already played the entire third quarter. And it's just a lot on everybody. It's a lot of weight on everybody to step up their game. And that's what you ask. You know what I'm saying? People go down. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what you ask. But we talked about it as well, Ham, where, you know, essentially this team has to be It feels like, and especially with these, at least these next two games, I don't know about the last game, but these next two games, they got to be perfect. They didn't play a horrible game last night, but they weren't perfect, and they lost.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. And to the point with Fox, I mean, you know, Fox played 44 minutes against the Celtics on the second night of a back-to-back. Like, hey, man, it's all hands on deck. And the goal to get to the playoffs, it supersedes everything at this point. And I don't even know what they got left when they get to the playoffs, if they somehow do get there.
I don't care.
How much do they have? Yeah, how much do they have left in the tank?
They're not good enough. See, that's the thing, James. Like, we're going to talk about this when we get back, because I have feelings about them in a 7-8 spot in the play-in. I have feelings about them over the course of the next two games. I have different feelings in a 9-10 spot. So we'll talk about all that. I want to mention our man Scooter916 real quick. He says, I absolutely hate that Domas has brought his lunch pail off season, even when no one else did. He had one bad game, and we're going to pile on. That's a bad look. That's fine, Scooter. You can absolutely feel that way. We went over this earlier. I'll say it again for you. He can't. It's unfortunate, and you're 100% right. It's not fair. He can't have a bad game right now. De'Aaron can't have a bad game. Domas can't have a bad game. And I think we learned last night, maybe Trey Lyles can't have – there might be two or three other guys that can't have a bad game. It sucks, but it is the unfortunate nature of where the Sacramento Kings are in this season right now. We'll come back. A lot more to talk with James Hamm about here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
But I, to be fair, we're back, James. I don't factor those into the loss total. If you'd like me to.
Hey, I'm 11-12. I know that much. And I'm not going to let anybody tell me different.
You're 9-12. Also, but if you want to factor in all of these exhibition games, we can.
11-12. So when the season ends, do we get a playoffs? Is just whoever has the best record at the end of the season is the champ?
No, can I also point out?
Yeah, from Asia.
You're only counting the wins. You're not counting the loss.
It's like one loss, so it'd be like 11-13.
Cheating again.
Guy right
cheating
here.
Again.
What are you talking about?
The great game that right I love, here. You have ruined.
I don't know when I'm losing again.
Jesse going to Austin 97 with the camera, though, during the commercial break was an all-time moment.
Get that camera out of my face!
Jesse's not doing well. Send your thoughts and prayers to at Jay Tapia. What's the number, 03?
Yeah, underscore 03.
Yeah.
03.
Send him some love.
Broke-ass Baron Corbin out here living in Vegas now. That's me.
That is absolutely you. Of course, when was the last time we saw Baron Corbin?
Well, and he's on NXT right now, so you just wait.
Didn't he do something over the weekend? He introduced or he said something.
I don't know.
He put Bron Breakker over yesterday.
James, your thoughts on Baron Corbin and Bron Breakker?
I have no idea who either of those people are.
That's okay. That's okay. We said this before the break. Do you have anything about Domas, 2 of 7, and you know, the remark about Domas was completely fair. Like, he has busted his ass all year. The 61, you know, game double-double streak came to an end last night. And, you know, he's had bad games during the streak. This was just clearly the worst. This was the one where it really feels like he is not in a groove. But it also felt like he was looking to distribute. He wasn't trying to rack up his assist total. He was doing what he always does. He was trying to make the best play for when he was out there on the floor. But there are a few, and I'm not going to say, like, you know, there's a dozen, but there were a handful of plays, Hammer, where it felt like, man, Domas probably could have worked right there. You know, he probably could have done something in the black, could have done something in the post, could have done something in the paint, but he looked to go elsewhere. They did swarm him. Anytime that ball came off the rim, they were around Domas as much as they were around the ball. But it was a tough night for Domas.
Yeah, to be honest with you, I think he got to the point where the 6 turnovers got in his head. And so every time he did try to make that move, most of those turnovers did not come on passes. It's not like he was throwing the ball into the third row. Every time he went to make a move, everybody is swiping down on the ball. And so, like, look, I think it was probably, like, of the 6 he had, maybe 1 or 2 were offensive fouls, and like 3 or 4 were him just turning the ball over, trying to make a move to get to the basket. So those don't count as shot attempts, but they were probably headed towards field goal attempts. And, like, look, he knows he's got to be better. He's got to be as frustrated as anyone. I kind of think that losing the streak might be a good thing, like not having that hanging out there. And let's be honest, if the Kings hit their shots, Domas would have had like 23 assists, not 5. Like, there were so many wide open threes that they missed. And at some point, you know, you really can't blame him for whatever happened. You know, again, he's got to be better in that situation. He's got to score against Chet. He's got to just push him underneath the basket like he has so many other times.
He's got to be nastier on the offensive end. The assist is one thing. He only has so much control over that. He's got to be nastier on the offensive end.
Yeah, I agree. But again, if you turn the ball over so many times when you're trying to make that move, eventually you start to feel like you're hurting your team that way.
Fair enough.
And so I get it.
Fair enough.
Somebody called in earlier and talked about how the Kings as a whole may look at the fact that, you know, they don't seem to get the same type of respect, the same type of whistle, and maybe it keeps them from attacking the basket, just free of mind. You know what I mean? And if that's the case, I mean, they can't let that dictate their game. They've got to make the best play every time, regardless of whether or not they think there is a whistle coming if they get fouled. But do you see that from this team? Do you think that's possibly accurate, that the fact that they don't feel like they're going to get the call if they go to the basket affects their shot selection a little bit?
Yeah, I do. I think that that's probably why you saw, what was it, 17, 18 three-point attempts from Fox last night? 17? He had 12 field goal attempts inside of three-point line, but at the same time, I think for Fox, like, Fox doesn't want to play the game, and I get it, right? Like, Kyle's word, the foul grifter, right? I think it's like a perfect term. And, you know, the ultimate foul grifter was probably Kevin Martin. He probably started this trend, and then it passed to James Harden, and then it just keeps passing to Trae Young, and now it's passing to Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. If you're De'Aaron Fox, though, I think it's okay to not want to do that, to not want to be that guy, to throw your head back every time and yell and scream and act like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I just got fouled. Luka Doncic, same thing. Like, there is something that you can say to about that. Like, okay, that it's okay to not be that guy. But you also can't complain when you go inside and you get hit and you don't make a demonstrative move to show that you got hit. And you can't just get like angry at the officials all the time about the fact that you don't get calls. And so I would like to have seen Fox not settle for like 2 or 3 of those extra threes that he took and have taken it to the rim, you know, pulled up in the mid range, done something different. But again, it's the heat of the moment and all of the weight is on him. You know, it's not like he can't look at a box score while he's sitting there or see a like the scoreboard where it shows that, you know, Harrison Barnes is 1 of 8 and that Domantas Sabonis is 2 of 7. I mean, we got the craziest stat I'd ever seen in that game was we got to 2 minutes left in the half and Keegan Murray hit a 3. That was the first bucket that wasn't from De'Aaron Fox, Keon Ellis, or Davion Mitchell. The first bucket. The rest of the dudes at that point were 0 for 14. So what are you supposed to do if you're De'Aaron Fox? And again, I know he gets angry and he gets frustrated with the officials. I'm actually going to say this, like, you know, I like Mike, but at some point Mike needs.
We got it.
No, Mike did that. You can't convince me otherwise. That Mike Brown cut that off, bro.
Wow. That is a very concerned James Hamm here on the screen. Mike Brown, whatever point
Mike
you...
Mike Brown needs to rip the head off of an official. Just unload and scream and yell and go nuts. And if you get tossed, you get tossed. Let Jordy Fernandez coach out the game. At least get one tech. But man,
I get
Mike
that.
Has to.
And a lot of times, like I agree with that. Like, but what does that really do?
It's the game. It's the game that they don't want to play.
Is it too late?
You know? Well, I don't know. Within a game, if you yell and scream at an official and lose it and either get tossed or come really close to it, defending your guys, there is a point where like an official might do something different. Mm-hmm. You know, we see it all the time. We see makeup calls all the time. Mm-hmm. Like we can't act like these things don't happen. Right.
I got you.
So I know people like when I say stuff about the officials, it's like, man, I don't want to see LeBron James in the playoffs in a one game play-in.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. And I don't want to see Steph Curry because Steph Curry is going to hit every magical shot that you ever believe that no one could hit. It's like the worst game of horse you've ever played. And then when he doesn't hit that shot, he's going to get every foul call. And then the same with LeBron. LeBron's either going to run you over and dunk on you the final 5 minutes of the game on every single possession, or he's going to stand at the free throw line and shoot the ball. That's the game. And the Kings aren't going to get that. It doesn't matter what they do. And whether they were shooting 16 threes or they were shooting 58, they're still not going to get the same whistle. And so, I hate to like be brutally honest about it, but that the NBA is a star driven league. They love their stars. They love their big cities. Okay. You got to beat a team. And, you know, again, with regards to like Shea is now, he's a De'Aaron Fox of last season. Like he's a media darling. He's the baby of everyone's super excited to either he's going to win the MVP or he's going to come in second place. You know, and again, like, I don't think his game is all that appealing to watch. It's just one herky jerky move after another trying to get to the free throw line.
De'Aaron Fox was not a media darling last year. I do not think De'Aaron Fox was a media darling at all last year. They've loved Shea. They love Shea since the trade.
Yeah, they've always loved Shea.
That's been their guy.
Yeah, but man, he was a. All everyone talked about was him being the clutch player of the year.
Yeah, almost, you know, begrudgingly. Like they did it. Jerry West Award, whatever it was. Good for him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But not to your point, James, though, like, it's commendable that Fox wants to play a stand-up game. But my question, Billy, what has that gotten you? Hadn't gotten you anywhere. We'll use it in this context as well. The game is the game. And you're going to have to fall. You're going to have to accentuate contact. I hate it all.
Is that going to work, though? Like, Domas bleeds.
But Domas don't fall. Domas don't fall. I mean, a little tongue-in-cheek, but I'm serious. Like, you got to start hitting the deck. You got to start falling. You got to jump into people, fall on the ground, and do all this. One thing that they do that I hate that never works – Harrison does it and Fox does it, is they'll go to the hole and they'll get hit on the arm. They'll lose the ball and they'll like throw their arms up and keep running. Mm-hmm. And they almost never get the call.
Mm-hmm.
If you get hit on the arm and you go flailing and fall, you know who does it a little bit, who kind of gets to the line a little bit when he does it, is Malik. Malik will play the game a little bit and he'll go falling and he'll go fumbling into the first row and all this other stuff. What they're doing now and the way they go, but I see the distinct difference between how they try to be stand up, you know, when they get hit and all this other stuff and other people. And it hasn't gotten you anywhere. You know what I mean? It's getting you out free throwed 20-4 in a game. Got to try something else, because it's not like you're not getting fouled. You are getting fouled. You are getting hit. But just looking at them and the occasional yell for a technical, it's not getting you to points. It's not getting you to them FTAs.
Well, that, and I would tell you that Fox is very snarky. So when he does say something, number one, he uses profanity without any question. And number two, it's got an edge to it. Like he likes to cut deep. Like that's who he is. He's sarcastic and he's cocky and he's got a very, very like snark to him. So I understand getting technicals. But I also think, you know, it's kind of like Jerry Maguire, like the Rod Tidwell moment where like he won't dance. He like, that's what they have to do. They have to figure out, they have to have that moment where they have to like put on an act a little bit, and it's lame that that's part of the game. But again, that's how he got paid, because he got up and he danced. It's part of the game. It's what makes Luka and James Harden and SGA. No one is looking around at the MVP voting and saying, oh, I wonder how did he get all of those points per game? They're not, all they're looking at is the points per game. They're not looking at the fact that he got to the free throw line so many more times than anyone else. And it's part of the part of the NBA game, part of the NBA culture. And if you don't want to play it, that's fine, but just don't complain when you don't get the calls.
Hammer, what's the most likely? Dump that. I'm going to try that again. Hey, James Ham, what's the most likely path to the playoffs in your mind for the Sacramento Kings?
I mean, just like, first of all, you win three games and you have a chance to still climb to two, up to six. I think the most likely is to find a way to win two out of three and pray that the Suns lose two out of three and tie the Suns for the seventh and eighth, beat the Suns to make it into the play-in, to make it into the seventh spot. I don't know that you want, again, if you lose the 7-8 game, it's going to be really tough. It's going to be really tough to play a 9-10 game. And again, like normally I would say the Kings would have a really good shot, because I think they're a much better team than the Lakers. And I think that, you know, they're a better team than the Warriors. But again, we're talking about a team that's had your number and who has so much more experience and everything else. The difference is the Kings don't have Malik. So unless they somehow have Malik, and I know that Chris Biederman hinted at it on today's show that, you know, maybe Malik thinks he can make it back for the play-in. And that would be tremendous. But I also, like, Malik needs to do what's best for him.
That feels like Willis
Reed. He's a free agent.
Like, we went from 4 weeks to a week and a half, 2 weeks?
It's been, I think, 2 weeks.
It's been a while. I can't remember what date he got hurt.
By the time you start playing, you're talking 2.5.
You're talking next week. You're talking Tuesday, right? Or potentially Wednesday?
Yeah.
And then potentially Thursday, and then potentially Friday. Like,
well, he got hurt in the first Dallas game, and the first Dallas game was...
Second Dallas game. It was on a Friday. So this Friday will be 2 weeks, and...
Game will be Wednesday. Tuesday or Wednesday.
Oh, the 29th is the game he got hurt? Mm-hmm. I thought he got hurt in the first Dallas game.
Nah, the second one that Friday.
It was the Friday night one, because it was
the worst
injury. Yeah, it was the worst Friday ever. Yeah, that's facts.
Oh, gotcha.
I don't like the Kings tomorrow. I don't like the Kings Friday. Probably don't even like the Kings Sunday. But in a one-off at 7 or 8, I can see them advancing that way. Once you get into 9 and 10 and having to win multiple playoff games in a row, that's where I struggle. That's where I like that. Like, James, you said, well, the Kings are better than the Warriors. I don't think that they are. This Kings, I don't think they're better than the Warriors. I don't think they're better
without Malik.
The Kings might be the worst team in the bottom four right now of the playing picture because of the circumstances. But if you just have a half and a half like you had last night, give me three quarters instead of two, yeah, you might be able to walk away with a win in that game. Mm-hmm. Or instead of 20 of 58, it's 17 of 40, 30. Yeah, I can see them winning that game.
Okay, so I'm with you. I do think you're probably right that the Kings are probably, of the group, they're probably the worst team. But I'd also tell you that, like, the Warriors have a better defensive rating than the Kings since the All-Star break. But outside of that, the Kings are a much better defensive team than almost any one of those teams. And so, like, that's where when the game slows down and it's playoffs and the breaks are longer and De'Aaron Fox doesn't have to go out there and play every, you know, he can play 40 minutes, but it's 40 minutes over, you know, 2 hours and something, not an hour and 45 something. That does matter, right? So, like, I don't know. I think that they've got a shot. I'm not going to put this team to bed just yet. I just kind of have that feeling that, you know, we know what their ceiling is. That's what I said earlier. Like, we just all of a sudden, like, the harsh reality that we know what their ceiling is. And it's not very good. Like, we didn't know what it was. We could think we knew what it was. But at this point, without Malik, you can kind of see, like, yeah. Oh, that's not... That's not great. I mean, I could see them make the playoffs, and I could either easily see them getting swept or 4-1, 4-2. Like, that's kind of where they're at right now because of injury.
Yeah, and that's the X factor. I mean, I thought this team was going to be good enough to get to the six, you know, a couple weeks ago, mm-hmm. and before Malik went down, that's how I felt about him. But it's just tough to score.
They were good enough to get to the sixth at 5:30 yesterday.
Good enough to get to the sixth somehow. I mean, that's still sitting there.
Yeah.
If all these teams tie.
The thing I keep coming back to, man, is it's just too tough for these guys to score. You know, they hit 20 threes last night. Keon Ellis with a career game. You know, even Harrison at least put up some stats. Like, it wasn't like he was killing, but – at least he wasn't hitting, but he was able to get to the foul line. All this other stuff. I know Sabonis didn't play well, but they had to scratch and claw to get 105. Like, it's just too tough for them to score right now, and that's what I just can't get past.
Okay, yeah, but I'm going to, like, counter with this. It's the same team that built a 20-point lead against Oklahoma City Thunder in the first half. I mean, it is. It's the same team that did they played really well against the Knicks in the first half. Now, the fact that they can't make the adjustment because they literally, it's like, it's us eight dudes and what else? Like, what else can we do here? I mean, God bless Mike for giving Colby Jones a shot or you know, if he goes back to Chris Duarte or he lets Sasha Vezenkov play a couple of minutes here and there. But, like, he's so limited in what he can do to change things up at this point. You just have to be better at what you do. And you have to be better at what you do without two of your top six rotation, seven rotation guys. And it's not easy.
Remember when Luke Walton was coaching, we were petrified of the third quarter? Kind of feels like that's back right now.
I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet.
Well, good for you.
petrified of the whole game.
Well, that's fair enough. That's fair enough. That's a shoot, too. We were nervous over everything that was going on yesterday in the first couple of minutes of that game. Then the lead got to 15, and we're both like, crap. Keep it here. Don't let it get much higher. Just keep it right. Nice, solid little 14, 15. Nothing to see here. Just keep it moving. But then they didn't listen. They got to 20.
Oh, stubborn Kings.
Damn it. Just kept scoring. And then we wound up losing. Well... Basketball tomorrow.
That's right.
Basketball Friday. I imagine the tone will be quite different Friday if things go our way tomorrow night against the New Orleans Pelicans. At some point, they're going to beat the Pelicans. I'm telling you, I don't know if it's tomorrow. I don't know if it's the plan. At some point, they're going to beat the New Orleans Pelicans. The Pelicans might clinch tomorrow if they win, yeah?
Sounds right.
Where would... I don't know the... I don't know the makeup of the Pelican Suns situation, so I'll fall back a little bit, but that'd give them Pelicans would be feeling really good if they walk out of the Golden One Center with a victory, and then they have the Golden State Warriors, I think, on the second night of a back-to-back.
Yep, and then Lakers.
And it's Suns-Clippers again tonight.
Suns-Clippers again tonight.
All right.
Kings have moved to seventh. Is that right? Or are they a half game back?
No, they're a full game back.
They're full game
They can't move back. They can't move to seventh tonight.
Kings can't move anywhere.
They can't go anywhere tonight. That's right. They can't go anywhere tonight. Actually, let me double check. Is that true? Okay, yeah, the Lakers don't play tonight. We'll be back here tomorrow to get you ready for more Kings basketball beginning at 10 a.m. with the Insiders here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Vamos Clippers, into a dome.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.